In my inaugural address, I put forth covenant principles that really set forth a bold agenda of change, growth, and opportunity for our state's future. These principles will be used in the budget process in order to improve our ability to grow the Iowa economy, to bring more jobs to our state, and to help Iowa families who have gone through a difficult time through this national recession. Today, I will outline a couple of items that we face as we prepare to outline our two-year budget, which will be presented to the legislature on Thursday. And it will also include a five-year budget plan as well, because we want the legislature to be cognizant of the decisions they make now, the impact they have down the road. Over the past 2 months, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds and I have actively been working with our management team and reviewed the current budget in great detail. We've put a lot of time and effort into this. You've heard from David Roeder about the challenges the state is facing. We've seen a lot of one-time money used on ongoing expenses, especially in programs like Medicaid. And the budget recommendations that I made are designed to correct those situations and to indeed make sure that ongoing expenses are being paid by ongoing revenue. Nationally, our federal government has a $14 trillion debt, and many states are facing a financial crisis. We've seen neighboring state of Missouri dramatically, with a Democratic governor, I would point out, third year in a row, no salary increase for state employees, reducing the number of state employees, I think, by 860-some, contracting out some of the services, reducing spending for education. These are the kind of tough decisions that governors all across the country have to make. We're going to have to make some tough decisions, and we're going to make those tough decisions up front now so that we can have a sustainable budget and that we can meet our commitments in providing services to the people of Iowa in the long term. In Iowa's budget, over $700 million of state spending that was funded with one-time money will be funded out of the general fund. Last year alone, the state underfunded our commitment to K through 12 education through the school aid formula by $156 million. And that left local school districts with no choice but to increase local property taxes. We intend to restore that money and provide the money so that it will not be again pushed onto the local property taxpayers. But the budget is an austere budget and will require a lot of tough decisions. It's going to be a big challenge for our new departments and our directors of the departments and agencies to find ways to live with less resources and yet hopefully improve the way we deliver services to the people of Iowa. So with that, I'd be glad to respond to questions you might have.
You have to make decisions about the current budgeting year.
Right.
Will there be layoffs announced this week?
Well, let's put it this way. We've already told the departments and agencies to stop the hiring. 1,000 people have been hired since July 1. Another 500 in the process. We can't sustain or support this, and so that we've already said we need to do that. And we're going to have to go back and review positions that have been filled to determine whether these are absolutely necessary. It's exacerbated by the fact that we have the $84 million cut that was made on January 3rd, and some of that's not sustainable. In the area of mental health, it could jeopardize health and safety, and the same thing in corrections. So, yes, we're going to have to make some adjustments in this year's budget, as well as putting together a biennial budget. Unfortunately, we can't correct what's been done in the past, but going forward, we're going to do everything we can to put in place these sound budgeting principles to make sure that what we're doing is affordable and sustainable for the long term.
So then will the
Well, it's going to be decided on a very thoughtful case-by-case basis. There's not going to be any axe, and it's not going to fall. Instead, we're going to take a very thoughtful approach and determine what are those things that we need to do, we're going to try to avoid unintended consequences, but we also respect and recognize the fact that a lot of our options have been taken away from us. We don't have the flexibility as managers to make some decisions because of decisions made by previous managers, and that's unfortunate, and I will address that also.
You have said that you're going to be reviewing that. How would you characterize the status of that review right now of these 1,500 jobs?
Well, we're actually asking each department head to review the ones in their area of responsibility. And I will say, I think that Chuck Palmer has done an excellent job as an example. He's got the biggest agency of state government. He's got some of the biggest challenges to face. He's got an agency where Medicaid was funded with a lot of one-time money. And yet I think he's been very thoughtful and very sensitive to trying to balance the budget, but not doing it on the backs of the mentally ill or the people that are the most vulnerable. And I'm appreciative of that fact, and that's the reason why having somebody with his knowledge and experience running an agency like that is very critical. And that's an agency that has big challenges, but I think that we have the right person running it. So we're going to do a great – I don't believe in micromanaging. Mm-hmm. And we are going to let the departments and agencies make thoughtful decisions. And this is the way I did things at Des Moines University as well. I let the deans run their own colleges, and I chose the best people I could find to run the departments and agencies. I have confidence in them, but I think they also need to know the financial realities and the limited resources that we have, and they'll have to live with the budget.
So it appears that Mr. Palmer he's not going to be getting rid of as many people as it looked like there was a threat to do, and could that happen in the rest of your of state government, that in the end not that many of those 1,500 people are going to be let go?
Well, I think, like I said, it's going to be agency by agency. And he's got some critical problems for instance, in the institutions that are providing mental health services. Now, we also intend to do a comprehensive review of the delivery of mental health services. Chuck, I think, has a lot of insights and thoughts into this. We're going to reach out and work with other nonprofits and people in the state of Iowa that have knowledge and expertise in this area. But this is an area of significant concern and, frankly, has implications in terms of both health and safety of our citizens. We want to make sure that it's handled thoughtfully and appropriately.
Governor, could you tell us what's going on with Border Patrol? There's some speculation that you're going to replace 3 of the 5 members, that you're going to ask the Border Patrol to be tougher on than Vilsack or Culver and keeping inmates in prison. We know that there were 3 new correctional facilities built when you were governor. What are your plans for the Border Patrol? And are you going to replace several members?
We are going to replace 3 members of the Board of Parole. First of all, they were people that were appointed and had not been confirmed. So we've withdrawn those appointments, and I intend to, in the very near future, maybe even within the next day or two, appoint 3 new members of the Board of Parole. And I want fair-minded people. I'm not asking them to go in there with an agenda. In fact, I want people that don't have an agenda but will be fair and even-handed, respect their responsibility to protect the safety of the citizens, but also to make thoughtful decisions on whether people are indeed good candidates to be released from the correction system.
So why are you replacing them? Are the people who were appointed by Culver not suitable?
We don't think that the parole board has moved as quickly as they need to review cases. And we think that I've got some people in mind that I think have some real insights and that I think will be really, and it's a new administration, and we just felt that we should have people that we have confidence in, and these are people that I think I think when you see the appointments that are made, you will see that it's not partisan whatsoever. It's got to do with choosing good people that I think are going to be fair and even-handed, and people that recognize their responsibility to not only protect the safety of the citizens and the public, but also to be fair to those people that are up for consideration for parole.
Are you going to replace Liz Robinson as the chair?
No.
Remain as chair?
Right.
Do you have plans to, you know, the projection is for increased prison population. Are you going to make plans to build a new state prison?
No. We don't have plans for, in fact, there are two new prisons under construction. We do have concerns about the cost overruns that are already, because the cost of those are more than was projected when the legislature authorized the spending. As you know, that's being done with borrowed money, and I have concerns about that cost situation, and we're going to be monitoring that very carefully. But we are concerned about that, and that's one of the reasons why I took action the first day that I was in office to eliminate the project labor agreements, because that's driven up the costs, and I think that's something that we really can't afford.
You say that the current board is not moving as quickly as it might have to do cases. Is your objective there to get parolees out faster because of prison overcrowding?
Well, I want to make sure that they move quickly, but also I think it's important that they be very careful and thorough in the review. And I've got some people in mind who I know very well, who I think will be really good and active members of the parole board. And I guess my feeling is I don't want to second judge them. I want them to be fair and even-handed. I want them to respect their responsibility to protect the safety of the citizens, but also to thoughtfully review and consider the appropriateness of each case on its merits.
But do you have prison overcrowding in mind when you're thinking about a parole board that isn't moving quickly enough?
Well, certainly we want to continue to consider those things, but the most important thing is to protect the safety of the citizens and make sure that each case is reviewed on its merits. Right.
Is that something that is really necessary? Is that something that you could do through your executive authority?
Well, we want to work with them on that, and we are on the same tune with that. We want to have more transparency and openness. We want the citizens to be able to see information with regard to the budget. As we put this budget together, we've tried to be very open and transparent in the information that we're going to provide. And we're very supportive of the legislative efforts to increase transparency in the whole budgeting process. So I think it's really something that we both need to be cognizant of and work on, and I think there are things we can do by executive action, but I'm very appreciative and supportive of the legislature's commitment to transparency in the budgeting process as well. No, I don't think that we intend to use this procedure that I've used before in interviewing candidates. I will interview them, and I will review all of the information that we receive from the public with regard to that. But I don't think it would be fair to the other candidates if you make that open. So then the person that came up first would be at a disadvantage to the one that would be interviewed last. So I think, you know, I will probably ask them virtually the same questions, but I don't think that it would be fair to the candidates to have the subsequent ones be able to view the interviews of previous candidates. So I think the process that I'm going to use is going to be similar to what I've done in the past. This is the first time, and I think it's an experiment as far as the way the court is doing it. and I understand they're trying to restore some credibility to the judicial system, and I understand what they're trying to do. But I guess it'll be appropriate to analyze it and see, is it fair to all concerned, and whether there might be better ways to do things in the future. Well, it's going to be an austere budget, and there's a lot of people that are going to be concerned that there's not more money, but that's the facts. And I think it's important for us to be honest and open with people, and also, this is a budget that isn't based on what's been done in the last few years, and that is finding a way to get through another year. This is designed to give us a long-term path towards growth and prosperity and job opportunities in the state of Iowa. And so we think by making the tough decisions up front now, we position ourselves to be in a much stronger and better position down the road. And we want a budget that is sustainable, that will not give us a projected deficit next year, the year after that. And this will be a two-year budget, and it will have a five-year projection, so we can show the decisions that are made on this budget will be sustainable for the next 5 years.
Legislators of both political parties are talking about crafting some limits on executive authority in regards to
transfers.
Are you okay with that?
I am. I think that I also recognize the separation of powers, and that we need to make sure that first of all, it goes both ways. I think the legislature is concerned that governors have used transfers to really circumvent the intent of the legislature in the past, and I don't want that to happen. On the other hand, I think there also needs to be enough flexibility to deal with real emergencies. And so if you have a situation where there is a disaster or there is an emergency or an unforeseen situation, sometimes there is a need to be able to transfer. So I want to make sure that what we do is fair, is balanced, and I understand and respect their interest in seeing that we don't shift power to the executive. In fact, I believe the two-year budget will actually give the legislature more oversight, because they can spend that second year scrutinizing each line item and each department and agency and each program to determine whether or not these programs should be continued or changed, or if there's a better way to do things. So I think this is an opportunity for us to work in partnership with the legislature and give them the opportunity to have more oversight, while at the same time giving both branches an opportunity to ensure that we live within our means, that we spend no more than we're taking in each year, and that we have a biennial budget that people can rely on, and it provides stability and predictability to local governments, so that school districts are not going to have to be fearful of some across-the-board cut coming halfway through a fiscal year or something like that that could really create havoc with the delivery of services.
So it sounds like your budget will have, you'll be allocating money to departments, and then those departments make decisions within their programs. Is that accurate, or are you going to do less line-by-line items on this Thursday?
Well, I think the more flexibility we can give to agencies, the better, because when you have an austere budget and you have to make tough decisions, I think it's important to give the people that are given the responsibility to manage and oversee those agencies the authority to set priorities. If you only have X amount of dollars and you have all these different demands, you can't meet them all. So what you got to do is meet the ones that are the most important and the most critical. And so I think, yes, it is important to give flexibility there. That doesn't mean that every department or agency is just going to have one item in their budget, but we are going to try to give as much flexibility as we can. Well, we understand it needs to be a balance, and we want to make sure that the legislature is appreciative of the fact that for instance, we don't have the money to fund the contract that my predecessor agreed upon with the unions. So agents are going to have to eat that out of their budget. Okay, that means they need to have some flexibility to deal with that situation and still deliver the services. It's just like we've talked about with Chuck Palmer, and he reviewed the situation with the $84 million across-the-board cut that was made on January 3rd and determined there were some areas that were really critical safety areas that needed to be dealt with in terms of both the health and safety of the people in the mental health institutes, and we want to make sure that he has the flexibility to do that, and that when we have something, especially when it involves the health of our citizens, the safety of our citizens, we want to make sure that there's an adequate flexibility to be able to deal with those issues.
Who's going
to
add?
No, we're not worried about that because I assume that this legislature is not going to fund it either.
And
the Republicans in the legislature have told me from the get-go that they don't intend to do this.
And are you assuming that any savings, 1,000 people have been hired July 1st and 500 in the pipeline, is that where you're going to find savings?
Well, it's one of the things we're going to obviously look at because once somebody has been employed for a long period of time, it becomes very difficult, and you have a lot of hurdles and roadblocks to eliminating those positions. That's why it was easy to do the early retirement last year, and that's why I said during the campaign we shouldn't be replacing those positions except those that are absolutely critically necessary. And so that's what we're doing. It's exactly what we said we would do, and that is not replace those, and I think anybody that was hired in that kind of position has to be aware of the fact that these are difficult times, and we don't have the resources, and the early retirement was done in order to reduce the level of state employment and the costs associated with that, because it's one of the biggest items in the state budget. We're going to address the issue of, in fact, you may have seen Leon Scheer, who's going to be our negotiator. He comes from the outside. I think he's got a really fresh perspective. And he put together a report for me and that's already been shared with the legislature and talks about, the 1974 collective bargaining law and what's happened since it became law, and contrasting that with the private sector and also what happens in other states. And I think there's some clear need for changes. Well, we didn't have collective bargaining in Iowa. We don't have it. I mean, we just had the union made a demand and the governor acquiesced. That's not bargaining. That's what we have today. And basically, the management's given away its rights.
A lot didn't force
them
to do that, though.
Well, no, but that's what happened. The true reality is that we are stuck with a contract that was not negotiated, that was just an acquiescence. And I think if you look back at what's happened over the last several years, you see management's rights have been extremely curtailed. And management, in this case, are the taxpayers, the citizens of Iowa. And they're the ones that have to pay the bills. They're the ones that pay our salaries. They're the ones that pay our benefits. Is it fair to them that we get free health care when they're paying a huge chunk of their income towards covering their health care? Those are the kinds of things that somebody's got to look out for. And I think that Leon has given us an objective outside viewpoint and something I think that the legislature needs to carefully look at. Yes.
Does that mean there'll be no allowable growth this next fiscal year?
That's right.
How about the next year?
We're looking at no growth the next 2 years.
Next 2 years?
Right.
Governor, given this situation, how with the budget being this dire, how can you find money to
Well, I want to sit down with the people from those communities, and I want to share my concerns about that. There's two questions, really. One is the state's initial requirement, and then there's an ongoing subsidy. And I'm most troubled by the ongoing subsidy. I really don't think we should be in the business of subsidizing passenger train service. But I'm at least open to looking at, are there other alternatives? If they're going to make substantial improvements on the Iowa Interstate Railroad, is it possible that the railroad can contribute towards that? I know the communities are stepping up to do things. And so I think I want to have some discussions with the Chambers of Commerce and the communities that are affected. I've had some discussions with Nancy Richardson and the DOT about this. And so we haven't made a final decision on that. That's one of the last decisions that we need to make on the budget. I want to make a thoughtful decision, and I know a couple of other states have said, no, we're not going to do it. I guess the thing that troubles me the most is the subsidy and then also the projections in terms of what the revenue would be and if indeed those are realistic or not.
Final question.
Very briefly, Governor, have you seen the language on transferability and are they talking to you about it?
I assume we're going to have a lot of discussions about that. I haven't seen it yet, personally, no. But I'm, like I said, I'm interested in working with them on it. I recognize and respect the legislative process, and I understand that we need to come up with something that is both acceptable to the executive and the legislative. And having served in the legislature before being governor, I understand the legislative perspective as well. And I want to make sure that we come up with a system that doesn't circumvent the intent of the legislature, but at the same time gives us the flexibility we need to manage and meet the obligations of delivering services in the most efficient and economical way possible.
Thank you.
Thank you.